Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well. Steve Edge is here.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
That voice.
I know, I like it.
Yeah, all right.
What are you up to?
Yeah.
Sound stressed.
Bad. No, I'm all right. I'm good now. Right? Last weekend was a bit. My wife went away with some mates, sort of skiing for 4 days. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So two both kids the boys just sort of, yeah. A lot of night garden. A lot of night garden. Quite a night garden every weekend.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's just points. You know that age when they're trying to communicate, but they can't yet, so they just scream, point, and shout.
Frustrating.
My wife said,
this,
you know,
this is your wife. With her.
Yeah. She's at that age, you know. No, but she said about my son, my 18-month-old. She said, "I love him with every inch of, you know, my being, but he's gammon. He literally red face, blonde hair, pointing, shouting, Dad, no, you stop it, more of this." Yeah, just a little bit like that. But it was all right. It was fine. Actually, it was actually quite relaxing. You know, just the three.
Yeah,
of us.
I think there's something in. Because obviously it's...
Complete control, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I wanted to say. I was trying to find a good way of saying it. But yeah, there's something about you just being in control of everything, not having to factor in another sort of person's opinion, essentially. Because obviously children don't get an opinion.
They can have one,
but it doesn't matter.
Nobody's listening.
No, exactly.
And obviously, like I said, Gammon, some of his are quite right-wing, some of his opinions at this stage, they're quite...
Right wing baby.
Yeah, and really, some of it is. I would be on the pale. I wouldn't mention it. I couldn't.
Baby's been cancelled.
I mean, there's no words yet, but I mean,
no.
I can tell.
But you know what he's thinking.
I can tell what he's thinking.
You know what he's thinking. Yeah, yeah. No, I can only imagine. Well, that's good then. So you had that. And then, of course, your wife got back straight from skiing. And I bet she was like, give me them kids. You go and have a chill out with your mates. You absolute legend. Off you go.
Yeah, you know. We know that doesn't happen, does it?
But it's, no, we kids.
It was nice to see everyone again, you know, back together, back to the normalness.
Have you ever done skiing?
No, I've never. I feel like I've missed the boat now.
Yeah.
Not the
The
ski lift.
I know what you mean.
I feel like I've missed the ski lift.
You're tall as well. I worry about tall people skiing.
Yeah, I've said this before. When I was at school, I was brilliant at football, like really good. I was in the school team and everything. And then when I got to about 15, 16, growth spurt, and suddenly 6'3", all gone. All the coordination had gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I say anyway. I was like Pele when I was little, like Messi, you know, just darting through defenders, little Paul Scholes. But then certainly to Peter Crouch, but with none of the ability.
Yeah. My daughter's going skiing with school. A friend of mine's a teacher, Simon, and his son was going. This was like 2 years ago. His son was going skiing with school. He goes to our school. That's where we went to school, and he's going skiing. We went to the Hat Museum, Steve.
We just went camping in Shrugborough.
The school trips have changed, mate.
They well changed. Going abroad, like passports and everything.
Passports. I've been sent a list of stuff that she needs, and it's not, you know, cheap. It's absolute bonkers, mate.
Wow.
Packed lunch for the Hat Museum. That was it.
If you're lucky, a bag of crisps.
Yeah.
Packed lunch. I haven't got a lunchbox. Just take a bag of crisps, one in each pocket.
In a carrier bag, in an Aldi carrier bag.
Yeah.
That's it,
an Aldi carrier bag.
You'll be fine.
That was our school trips.
It took a handful of hot cold.
Yeah. I tell you what, if you're cold, buy a Savoy, put it in your pocket, it'll keep you warm. Meat Central Eating. There you go.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Music matters.
Hey, so you know last week, Steve, we were chatting about the Willy Wonka experience.
The Willy Wonka experience.
In Glasgow.
Yeah. What an experience, yeah.
I mean, to be fair to them, it was an experience, wasn't it? So that's what they promised.
Yeah, they didn't lie about that bit. Yeah.
If you've not seen this news story, it was basically the most viral event of the year so far. It's everywhere online. It was an AI-generated ad misled attendees into thinking they were forking out £35 for an immersive experience based on the Roald Dahl story. Instead, they were ushered into a barely decorated warehouse, some likened to a meth den. sparsely populated by vaguely costumed actors who quickly left. You've probably seen it all over social media over the last few weeks. Some of you may have been concerned about the character The Unknown and the whereabouts of where that character originated from. You might have... Do you remember that one, Stephen? Stephen.
Not the guy who was there. Now, The Unknown. What's The Unknown? No.
This was... Yeah, so this was like a character. It was a woman dressed as... She was in like black... like a black robe, and she had like a silver face on. I think she was like the...
When was this?
I guess she was the...
Like...
This was in the thing. You walked around. She was hiding behind a mirror.
Oh, no, I don't remember this. No.
Okay, yeah. It's pretty terrifying. If you go online now and just Google Wonka The Unknown. okay. Yeah, it's you'll get it. It's pretty scary. See it on there?
Oh.
Imagine bringing your kids around. There's just this woman walking around with a silver mask. Terrifying.
No, that's not. No one likes that. Yeah.
Also, when I don't remember that character...
I don't remember. I've read the book with my son. I don't remember that character.
Don't remember that. Apparently, so it says here, it's not in the original story or the film, but the horror film starring The Unknown is in the works. The actor who played The Unknown at the experience shared her experience on TikTok. Warner Brothers, which owns the film rights to Roald Dahl's character, but not to The Unknown, has yet to comment. Would this children's story work well with The Unknown in the mix of a new horror film? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's good that something positive's come out of it for her and everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that being the genesis story of this like brilliant film. How did this come about? Well, yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Just stood there at the Oscars, like, you can't believe how this started.
Yeah. So tell me how this started. Like, well, I was in this thing that was described as a meth den. Hiding behind a mirror.
If you think about Wonka, like the actual book, it is dark anyway, isn't it? The actual story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so dark. I mean, if you think about the deaths...
I think Gene Wilder's playing of it as like let off a lot of the things. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The way Gene Wilder handled it.
Yes.
Because even in his, you know, like when Augustus Gloop gets trapped in the pipes and he's like, oh, wait, stop. He's not bothered. But, you know... It is weird, isn't it? Nearly all the kids end up trapped or or burnt alive.
Turned into a tiny version of themselves, yeah. But if you think about
that's Mike TV. Violet Beauregard swells up and
what were they actually being punished for?
Well, for being gluttonous, for being rude.
They were having a tour
competition winners.
Of a chocolate factory.
They were competition winners.
Of a competition winners of a chocolate factory. Well, yeah. And then they punished, especially Augustus Gloop,
for being greedy. Hang on. On the terms and condition, when the film first starts, there's obviously a lot to read. He scans it at the end, but it says, do not touch anything. Every single child, even Charlie Bucket, steals something. He steals a fizzy lifting drink. Violet steals a chewing gum that isn't ready yet. He's drinking out of a lake that they're going to make chocolate out of. Jumps in front of the telly. So they bring this all on themselves.
No, he doesn't.
They do it.
I disagree. I think you can't. Let's say you and Hal won a competition, right? To go look through the Cadbury's factory, right? And you've walked around the Cadbury's factory and you're having a walk around there. And halfway round, Hal, there's a river of chocolate, which I presume there is, just dairy milk going past.
Yeah, and definitely. It's some little fellas making it, with shovels. Yeah.
little
orange
little
faces. Brummies.
Little orange face brummies.
Green hair. Oompa loompa dum potato, I've got a perfect puzzle for you. Dum potato. Yeah.
And
do you get if you go draw down sweets? When it goes on. Eating as much as an elephant eats. What do you want getting dinner by fat? Yeah. What do you think will come of that? I don't like the look of it.
I would watch a new version of this.
I'm saying we should do our own version. We should get Willy Wonka and Cadbury's together and we should create our own immersive experience. I'll play all the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, obviously. The book is a lot darker, I think, than the film.
Yeah.
There's definitely some.
Well, they always are, aren't they? Like Grimm's fairy tales and all that. They're all.
Yeah.
People's eyes getting.
Anyway, there you go. That's That's the end of that link.
Good news from bad news.
There you go. Jason Manford. Hey, I've got another night out for us, Steve, in town.
What, another one? This is the second one in 3 years. What, what is this?
I know. First one was Only Fools and Horses, the musical.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, same production company. In fact, it's the same production company that I do. I tour with. Fawlty Towers, the musical.
Oh, yes. I've seen. Is it a musical? I didn't know it was a musical. I knew they were doing
maybe it's
thing,
not.
But
no, sorry. No, it's not a musical. It's just a play.
Oh, is it not a musical?
I don't think it's a musical, yeah. But yeah, Fawlty Towers.
What is it? Is it like a brand new show or is it like four episodes like smashed together like they used to do in the films in the 70s?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
It's, but it's written by John Cleese and Connie Booth.
So they've both written it together. That's good.
They've written it. And it does look good. I've got to say, I've only seen the photos of it, but John Cleese says, what a thrill to be bringing Fawlty Towers to the West End for the first time. 50 years since the show was first recorded.
Yeah.
We've been involved in the casting process for some time, sorting the very, very, very good from the merely very good. But it's good, good little cast, like, so.
Well, I don't know Adam Jackson.
Adam Jackson Smith playing Basil. I don't know him, but and Paul Nicholas is the bumbling mayor. So you know Paul Nicholas, don't you? Sitcom legend.
Yeah, the mayor. The mayor's not a regular in the series, is he? So this is obviously for the plot of this.
I guess for the plot of this. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The mayor, the bumbling mayor. Did you say
the bumbling mayor?
Okay.
So that's him.
But Paul Nicholas was just good friends, wasn't he?
There you go, sitcom royalty.
Yeah.
So and Anna Jane Casey.
Jesus Christ.
He was. Anna Jane Casey's very good. I've worked with her. She's very funny. So she's playing Sybil. So I think I might be all right, you know. Might be all right.
Yeah, well, it's a night out, isn't it? You know,
it's a night out, mate.
We always enjoy ourselves. That's what we do.
Not till May, but I'm into that. There was one a while back, wasn't there, like a dining experience?
What was that?
Fawlty Towers. There was like one, I don't know if it was on tour.
Yes.
Where you went for dinner.
Yeah, no, it was on tour. Yeah, it was like, I don't know how it worked. They just bumbled around you shouting on those trays and stuff.
Yeah, because there's one of them in Manchester. Have you seen the videos? Karen's Diner, it's called.
Oh, it looks great. So everyone's a little bit miserable.
Yeah, I was thinking of going tonight for Mother's Day.
So they're
not
really
just miserable,
but they'll just go for you, won't they?
Well, I mean, that's my problem, because my brother's like, let's go Karen's Diner, and I'm like, no, because I'll get it in the neck. But yeah, it's like all the staff are rude and shouting at you and calling you names and stuff.
It's not a good time to be called Karen, is it? I mean, everyone's sort of gone in for the Karens.
I know there must be, and most Karens I've met are all right.
Yeah, most Karens I've met are all right. I'm trying to work out if I've ever met a bad Karen, if I'm honest, or a miserable Karen.
Seems a bit harsh, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems a bit harsh on the Karens.
What's the male equivalent of the Karen?
Is it a Gary?
Darren.
Darren. Rhymes, doesn't it? Yeah, Darren, it sounds like it, yeah.
Stop being such a Darren. No, it's not Darren. Mm. Darren's all right. Donald. I'll go with that.
Yeah, he's very specific though, isn't it? Yeah. But the duck's all right. The duck was all right.
The duck was not all right, Steve. If you remember rightly.
Was
Donald
it not?
Duck. Yeah, Donald Duck was I mean, I don't want to say it on the radio, but he was
what?
It's not how I would spell duck, put it that way. He was horrible, wasn't he? He was dead argumentative and snappy and all. He's not Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse the nice one.
He's the nice one. He's the nice one. But imagine spending that amount of time with Mickey. Hello there. You'd be like, shut up. You'd all turn into Donald.
Do you think that's what's happening?
Shut up, mate. Shut up. Yeah, it's too much time with him. I think that's why they're all a little bit angry. Mr. Perfect over there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Boom. Questions for Steve. 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 Questions for Steve.
Okay. Why does it make us laugh after so long?
I don't know, because we only hear it once a week. I don't know.
Even then I was listening to it thinking, well, you're not going to laugh this time. And then I did.
No, I'm not over it. I'm not over it. Still, there's always something new. It's layered. That time I was thinking about Adem in the studio putting it together at 3 o'clock in the morning with like a massive... like McDonald's thick shake. Just he'd been there like hours, just like knackered.
If you want to ask Steve or myself a question, you can email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Chris has done exactly that. He said, "Hi, lads. Long-time listener of the podcast, 2 times best facts winner."
Oh, impressive. Wow. I should get a badge, like a Blue Peter badge. Should, well, you get a mug, should, I suppose. No,
mate, we are getting it, nothing. We're getting nothing out of the management here at Absolute. We can't get a plate. No. Now it's just a generic Absolute Radio. It was an egg cup. Then it was, I think they're trying to get rid of us. I think they've gone, look, it's not worth getting them more things because, you know.
They only print them in 200s. They're not going to be here 200.
They're not going to be here. Yeah, exactly.
Get rid.
Chris says, he also believes he's where Steve's obsession with smashing neighbours' windows came from after my bin was nicked a year or two ago. So.
Oh. Well, mate, it's not it's not obsession. It's just a cure all,
it's your go-to
for solving debates.
Yeah, well, look, Chris says, I recently became a father for the first time to a beautiful girl. With Steve having a couple of kids and Jason almost having enough for a football team, do you have any tips for new dads? open to any answers. All the best, lads. Love the work, past and present. He's not married on the future yet, so that's fair enough.
No, we'll see how it goes. It's basically what he's saying, isn't it?
That's fair.
But, he's father of a new baby, so you can't think more than a couple of hours ahead, can you? So
no.
That's, explains that. I mean, I think what's the most important piece of advice anyone's ever given you is that whatever they do, good or bad, it's just a phase. You know what I mean? So, if they're not sleeping, it's just a phase.
That's exactly it.
But then if they are sleeping brilliantly, it's just a phase.
Yeah.
Also, you'll know this. I've only got two, but they're all different, aren't they? All the babies are different.
Always.
So, what works with one won't necessarily... Yeah, it's the temperament. My second child is a much easier baby than my first one.
Yeah.
But we haven't done anything different. It's just they're all different, aren't they? Can't choose that.
I mean, I've literally got twins. They're identical. I mean, they're identical twins, but, they've had an identical life yet they could not be any more different. So, it is. It's a bit of a... I think also you're a bit calmer, maybe. It might be the way you are around kids a little bit. Yeah. You care less, don't you, second time?
They definitely care less second time.
So
what advice is he specifically? It is just general advice.
It's just new tips for dads.
Tips.
I would say, what are my tips for dads? I'd say get a nappy bin.
I would say don't get a nappy bin.
Oh, get a nappy bin all day long. Why?
No.
I always get the nappy bin. It's because it's right there next to the changer then.
I know.
Just done.
Done.
Also, the other thing to remember is your baby grow, the shoulders are loose. So just, if it's done one, that's just disgusting. Just peel the shoulders of the baby grow back and pull it down off the baby, rather than try and take a pooey one over its head.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because obviously this has happened, after our time, but you can get these nappies that have got Poonami proof. Have you seen that now? So they've got an extra flap now.
Okay.
So that, that one that goes up the back and you see it on their collar, they're starting to go, has he just got, and then you see something on their neck and you go, oh my God.
Yeah.
That, I don't think that can happen as much anymore. I mean, I don't know why they've only just solved that now.
Yeah, because they've been doing it for a long time, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you know what? What I will say genuinely is enjoy it. Enjoy every second. And I know it's a bit, it's easy for you to say that, but I'm looking at my daughters now who are 15. I can see the end of their childhood within touching distance. And I would take a sleepless night crying and pooing themselves. This is the baby. I'd take that right now if I could swap. I'd go back this second.
But you'd rather have one when they're about 4.
Well, I heard, I can't remember if it was, I'm going to say Fern Cotton.
One of the Ferns.
I think it was Fern Cotton. She was doing a lovely podcast. And somebody had said to her on this podcast, I guess they said to her, and this is quite morbid, but stick with me. If you're in the future, you're on your deathbed in the future, and someone says to you, right, I've got a time machine, but it can only take you back to one moment in your life. And that moment was that worst moment when it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, you had to be up at 7 and you'd been up all night and vomited, whatever it was, just the worst moment of that, you know, crying, screaming, angry, whatever it was. And that's the moment you could go back to. How would you sort of think about it differently? How would you do it differently?
Well, you'd go with hindsight and experience, wouldn't you?
And you'd be in the you'd probably be in the moment a bit more, aren't you? So that's definitely what I would say as a tip. Just try and be in the moment as much as you can.
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
How was your week, Steve? Did you get stuck into World Book Day?
Well, yes, it was World Book Day this week, which I sort of, everybody looks forward to it with a little bit of
dread.
Yeah, Hal had a really strong idea he wanted to be. He wanted to be Tintin. He loves the Tintin books. Mm. He's got blonde hair. We've got a blue jumper. Perfect. It's all, do you know what I mean? It's quite easy to, you don't have to get together. And then there's also that bit when you pick them up from school and you judge all the other parents. You know, when there's kids just dressed as Super Mario and you're like, that's not a book.
No.
Spider-Man, that's not a
there
book.
There was a Stormtrooper. I was like, I'm sorry, that is not a book.
No, come on.
You can't have that.
No. You know, I get it. It's hard, but you know, it's not that hard. There's a kid who went as Where's Wally, who I saw at our school, one of Hal's mates, and he was brilliant.
Yeah, that is a book.
He was brilliant. He is a book, but I mean, it's a good look to do, isn't it? Glasses, stripy top. And then when he appeared from school, I went, there he is! And I found him straight away. So it was double win.
My boy went as an Oompa Loompa.
Right.
And unbeknownst to the parents, basically about 12 of the lads at school had all gone as Oompa Loompas. So imagine how wicked that looked.
So they'd arranged it?
Yeah, they'd arranged it. Let's go as Oompa Loompas. So
what do they look like now, the Oompa Loompas?
I'll send you a little picture.
From the new one or the old one?
No, they weren't classic, really. But yeah, I guess because of the recent
like, it's like green hair? Is it green? I don't know.
Yeah, green hair, orange face. Yeah. A little of course. That's I've just sent you a picture of my Sunday on the WhatsApp group.
Oh, okay, let's have a look. And little dungarees on, is it?
Yeah, little white dungarees. I don't know why my son's doing quite a sinister face, but he just says they are quite sinister.
Yeah. Why is he doing that?
I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird face. I don't know why he's doing it.
That looks like, if that was, if you, you know, treated that so it was black and white, like sepia, and said, this is the youngest survivor of the Titanic, you'd go, that's him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's got that look.
Because he stood in front of, you know, that, you know, that would, why is he doing that face? That's terrifying.
I don't know. I don't know why he's doing it. There's a lot of good costumes
it's
out there.
It's a great face, though. It is a great face.
It's a good face. So you've gone full Oompa Loompa. But to be honest, Steve, there's two sets of parents, isn't there, on World Book Day? There's people who have started making the costume themselves with imagination and skill and dexterity.
Yeah.
And then there's Amazon Prime parents who 2 days before.
Yeah, or the Asda ones, because Asda, they did a good range of Sainsbury's. They did a good, like, they did a couple of Willy Wonkas and, you know.
Yeah, I am very much Prime camp.
I mean, you wouldn't know, though. It looks like you've still got face painting to do, so you've still made a bit of
effort. There's still a bit of skill.
When people are wearing a Pokemon onesie, that's when I start judging.
That's not. Yeah, I think we have to start coming down a bit harder next year on World Book Day.
I do as well.
And actually, just sending children home.
Yeah, just saying I'm sorry. No.
Can you show me the book that this stormtrooper is in?
Yeah, show me that. Show me this book.
And it has to be. Don't try and trick us. It has to be before the film.
Yeah, I don't want a graphic novel.
No.
No.
That's the new rule for next year. It's got to be a book. Let's start just treating it with a bit of respect.
Maybe they should have World Video Game Day and they all come dressed as video game characters. Maybe they should do that. Maybe that's time. Maybe it's time to have that discussion.
Maybe,
but you know, not that day.
It's not World Book Day.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
So, it was quite a while back now, Steve, that you came and saw us in The Producers.
Yes, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but it was a lot of fun. And it was made even more fun by the fact that comedy legend Ross Noble was also in it, and we had a great old time on tour. He's on tour at the moment. That goes on for another week or so, and he's online right now. To talk about his latest tour. Morning, Ross Noble.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I miss it. That was such a laugh doing that show.
Wasn't it?
When are we going to do it again?
I know, that's the thing.
Because people don't realise. I mean, you know, I think people are quite surprised that I basically have always longed to be a song and dance man.
You know, Olivier nominated, for a member, as well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Let's not forget.
Olivier nominated. For the West End song and dancing. You're a bit more overt about it. You sort of let people know. It's that thing about people are like, what? What is a song and dance man? You know the thing about doing that show, apart from it being the best fun ever, was the fact that watching people's reaction when you and I, like if we would nip out for a bit of food, like between the show, because people don't realise that you're a lot taller than you appear on television.
Yeah, people are always shocked by that.
And I'm a lot shorter than I appear on television. So, like, I just like to say, officially, I am 5'9". I'm not one of these people that says I'm 5'10". I could probably pass for 5'10", but I'm 5'9", right?
5'9".
And how tall are you? 6 foot?
I'm just over 6 foot, but I'm not 6'1". But I creep over 6 foot.
Exactly. And then, so, it's one of those things, but then, for some reason, people think that I'm about 6'5", and they think you're about 4'2". I think they think you're like Les Dawson, and I'm like some sort of Peter Crouch figure. And they just literally like, so the joy of people walking down, like we'd be out and about, and the joy of seeing people going, bloody, that's Jason Manford. God, you're a lot taller than I thought. And then they go, oh, hang on, no, yeah. Oh, you're
is that down there?
And I'm going, yeah. And you just go like, it's. But then part of me was getting paranoid, going, is it because I'm stood next to you, and then you're taller, they then think that I'm in. And So yeah, they were already confused, and then they go.
I feel like that when I'm out with Steve, because you're how tall are you, Steve?
I'm 6 foot three. But you're tall. You feel like you're taller than just over 6 foot.
I know, but I'm not. I'm not, because my brothers are all like 6'1", 6'2", and I'm the shortest of my brothers. So,
you've got better posture than me. I'm a slave.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is.
So now in the tall community, people think that you're small. Right, okay, that's unbelievable.
It gets weird. So it's like a frost report.
But then it would be the other way around, wouldn't it? It would be like, I look up on him, but he is smaller than me. But I look down on him, even though the public's perception is he is taller than me.
The general public thinks he's taller than me, but I'm not.
Yeah, do the whole sketch. People's perception. Yeah. I am perceived as wealthy, but when you run it through all metrics,
when you see my tax bill, I'm actually on my ass.
Yeah.
So your tour's coming to a glorious end.
Yes.
And you are playing the historical Palladium.
Oh, yeah.
London. You've played it before, have you?
I have. Yeah, I love it. It's one of those things where, you know, like when I first started, you know, when I was a kid, my whole thing was just like, to me, the pinnacle, as far as I was concerned, the pinnacle of being a stand-up is like headlining the London Palladium. So, yeah. And that's never gone away. So I always do whenever I play there, I always go down under the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And you know where they've got because you can see where the old Revolve, you know, there's the grooves where the stage used to revolve Sunday night at the Lone Palladium. And then they've got Brucey's Ashes.
Brucey's down there, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So I always go down there and give a little pay homage to...
it's
weird because you start... Yeah. Did you?
Well, when I was down there, when I was doing Wizard of Oz, I sort of walked past his little plaque every night and I sort of give a little tap. As I walk past, you sort of feel like it's part. It's just in the bones, then, isn't it?
Yeah, when you're standing on stage, because there's always that thing as well of like, you know, like when you play, is it His Majesty's? Where you know they always do that thing of the guys that work there, you stand, they always do that thing, they go, Tommy Cooper died
here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you're just like, thanks, mate.
Thank you for that,
Whereas at least there was, you know who was on after him when he died?
Les Dennis, I think it was.
Les Dennis.
Follow that.
And at Sunderland Empire as well, they always go, Sid James died there.
Sid James. Still haunts the place by all accounts.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen a few die at the
Sunderland. Cackle in the darkness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only ghost that goes around the ladies' dressing rooms, they've got to have an exorcist at the door. Just,
I did make the mistake at the Palladium when Brucey had first passed away, and one of his last shows I'd actually done with him at the Palladium, and so there was just a point where you sort of feel connected, and he's a hero of mine, and then literally the weekend I was playing there, his ashes had been put under the stage maybe the week before, so I finished my show, and I say, and before I finish, I've got to mention Bruce Forsyth. So Bruce, you know, what an absolute legend. And I know I just feel like he's down there now looking up, just willing us on. And it was only when I got off, I thought to myself, hang on. If you don't know that he's under the stage.
Yeah.
I've just told 2,000 people.
And ironically, he's probably the only celebrity from the 70s who isn't looking up at you.
Yeah.
Right, stick around, Ross. We'll chat more about your new tour. Jason.
Absolute Radio.
Manford.
Where real music matters.
I have just remembered, Ross, that...
Go on.
And I feel like you mentioned this on the Ed Gamble, James Acaster podcast about our day out in... our week in Dublin when I'd in recommended Dublin, the... chicken wings.
Yes, that's right. I forgot I talked about that.
Yeah, I think someone tweeted me about it a while back saying Ross mentioned it. So we went, I don't know if you've been, Steve, but when in Dublin, they're famous for chicken wings.
Oh, the elephant, is it Elephant and
Castle? Elephant and Castle, that's right.
Hang on. This is the thing, though. They're not. Dublin, an island, has no link to chicken wings whatsoever.
No, not at all.
It's purely
historically.
They've invented this. You know, it's like you go. You know, when you go to a pub or something, and they say, "Try our famous Scotch eggs," and you go, "I've never heard of your Scotch eggs. You can't put famous." Anyway, yes, yeah. But Dublin.
The elephant and castle thing as well. You think it's something to do? It's come from London somewhere. Mm. There's no link there either. There's no link to anything. They've just.
But they're in like
things
a,
made up.
They're in like a Frank's hot sauce, and then you dip them in like a blue cheese dip in. It's quite a specific taste.
Yeah.
I'd said to Ross about them, and then we were like, I wonder where's best. I wonder which one, because there's loads of these restaurants that have them. Which one's best? And then I feel like you had the idea, to be honest.
Dunleary.
Yeah. It was definitely I can't blame anyone else for what happened.
So tell us what happened.
So we basically, So I said, well, here's an idea. So we were doing the show. We were there for a week. We were doing 10 shows. And I said, well, why don't we, if there's 10 restaurants that all claim to have the best wings and we're there doing 10 shows, if we're there for a week, if we eat chicken wings, lunch and tea, then we'll be...
Get
if we do it lunch and
you'll
tea...
You'll have the answer.
We'll be able to
you can do a blog about it.
Exactly. So, yeah, we would have the answer, but it turns out what we'd also have is gout. So,
I know, it's a small price to pay to be right.
I went, why can I not walk? I thought I'd broken my foot. And then I got back and I muddled through, and the last thing you want when you're a song and dance man is gout. And so I went to my doctor. And I said, I think I've sustained some form of injury. I think I've got maybe a stress fracture. And she said, how would that have happened? I said, well, listen, I'm a song and dance man. I'm appearing in a
you
musical.
You must know me.
It, It happens. It happens to us dancers all the time. And she said, give us a look at your foot. And she went, that's not a dance-related injury. Oh, what is it? She went, hey, you've got gout there. And I went, but it's too painful. It's got to be a bruise. She went, no, a gout's a painful thing. And she went, is there anything that you can think of in the last sort of few days that might have triggered gout? And I went, I can't really think of. Could it be nothing but hot wings, lunch and tea for an entire week? She went, that'll do it.
That'll be it. Now we know.
Yeah, I don't know if I talked about this. I think I might have talked about it on that podcast. You also did, which I think is one of the ballsiest moves I've ever seen in a restaurant context. Where I was having a dessert, and they put the chocolate, the molten chocolate, and it goes down over the dessert. Mm. And I'd eaten the dessert and I'd left all the chocolate there. I was just about to scrape it up with a spoon. And Manford licks his finger and wipes it and wipes the entire plate. And Anita goes, oh, lovely. I mean, that was... And part of me was angry. But I think I actually physically saluted you. I just went, that is...
Was it not my pudding? Not my,
no, it was my day. You reached across, you licked your finger and wiped it across.
But you'd finished. You'd finished.
I was.
No, I think you were saving. The best bit till the end.
Saving that for the last. You licked your finger and wiped the entire thing. Like, oh, lovely. And I was both shocked and I just went, oh, fair play. It was like taking a small child's face and just pushing it into their just angel delight. And just going, sorry, did you just push that child's face into a little angel delight? It was magnificent. And I just went, oh, this'll do nicely.
It was funny.
It really made me laugh.
Well, into your last week of your tour, your stand-up tour.
Yes.
You can get tickets at rossnoble.com. We've got Canterbury tomorrow, then Northampton Wednesday, but the London Palladium, everybody. Thursday and Friday, two nights at the London Palladium, which is going to be great fun.
And I think I've got as well, which is going to, I think it's going to be on the first night, through a long bizarre, because like I say, I've always loved the variety acts. Mm. I've always wanted to introduce a variety act. So I've convinced TV and radio's Chris Moyles to come on and do some plate spinning. To finish the show.
Perfect.
He's never played spun before, so that could be a glorious
end.
That'd be
exciting.
So this could be a bit of fun, couldn't it? So there we go.
That'll be interesting. Well, I look forward to that. Well, that's this week at the London Palladium. I've just been on Ticketmaster. And when I say a handful, there's a handful of tickets. So be quick and grab those tickets to see the brilliant Ross Noble. Always funny. Gout or no gout. He puts on a hell of a show. He's a song and dance man, but a fantastic comedian. Head to rossnoble.com. Thanks for joining us this morning, pal.
See you later. Take care.
See you soon. Bye, mate. Hit me with your best fact. Fire away. Ba ba bam ba. Ba-da-da-dam. Right, so what you can do to join in is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. You can win yourself a generic Absolute Radio mug, which means nothing to us or this show, but that's the prize.
No, there's the prize.
Can you sense my bitterness?
Hasn't the last couple of weeks, hasn't one of our Hit Me With Your Best Facts been on one of the 1% questions on the 1% show?
Yeah, someone said that the other day, yeah.
And obviously it's the one we remember because it's the one we got wrong.
Yeah, it was the number in alphabetical order. That's right, which number
which
we said.
We all know it's 80.
40.
Yeah. 40, 40, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is 40, yeah.
Oh, it's 40. I was like, am I wrong again? Oh, no.
Yeah, but it was a 1%er, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You know, if you'd have listened to our show, you could have won yourself a lot of money.
We'd have won 100 grand there.
We wouldn't. Damn. No, we wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't. We'd
have gone really confidently. 8. You'd have said 8, yeah. And then I'd have gone, hey, well, if it's 8, it must be 80, right? Like, really confident as well. And then they'd have gone,
yeah, we messed that up.
What?
We messed that up.
I's not before G.
I saw a good one the other day that somebody sent me. This was from somebody called Fran on Twitter. Whinge Wine is their handle. That said, fun fact, if Celine Dion well, sang, I mean, it could anyone could sing it, but if Celine Dion sang only the vowels in her name, it would be also the lyrics to Old MacDonald's Farm.
E-I-E-I-O. Yeah, of course it
would. E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
It would be, yeah.
It's quite a nice one.
Well, that's very good. Yeah.
So like a little, but like a silly fact little as well. Facts. We're not.
Yeah, we're just like facts.
Just love a fact. Can't help ourselves. If you've got one, though, email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Let's throw ourselves into it. Angela says, because I know Steve's opinions on Paris, I thought I'd share this. Steve is not a fan. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not a fan of gay Paris, are you?
No. Well, I was when I was younger, but not now. No. We've been there.
We've been there. We've covered it.
One nice building, you burnt it down.
Yeah, although I saw a picture the other day. They have knocked it back up in quick time, mate.
Well, I know, but this sort of history's gone a little bit, hasn't it? You're all building a new building.
Yeah, I guess so. Angela says, most toilet paper sold for home use in France is pink.
Most? Is it? Why is that then? It's weird, isn't it? Because surely that's not a natural colour, is it? So you've added something that doesn't need... You've added a dye, haven't you?
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
I think it would be better just being white or, you know, sort of manila beige colour, which would be the natural pulp colour, wouldn't it? I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe it's something to do with just like... Maybe they've got pink bathrooms and they're just like, this looks better. I don't know.
Very this looks sexy.
It is a sexy colour while wiping one's butthole.
Let us go and get some. Oh, the metro is on strike this week. Oh, yes, again, Paris.
Cameron Davey says you can't swear in front of a corpse in Texas.
Oh, wow. You can't swear in front of a corpse in Texas?
I mean, he says you can't. Is that? Does he mean it's illegal or... There's a mystical, magical power that prevents you from swearing.
What, like in True Detective? Yeah. Like something in True Detective, like you hear like a ghost and, you know, an orange rolls towards
doing
you.
It, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, weird. So I presume it's illegal.
But if it's illegal, you'd get there and somebody's dead and you go, oh, God, and you swear. And they go, I'm sorry, I'm going to arrest you. Like, what? That's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, or like, yeah, if you're... What if you're in an accident together and you're like, oh my God, this son of a is dead. I'm arresting you, sir, for swearing in front of your friend.
What?
Yeah. It's not allowed to swear in front of her.
Okay, good to know.
Good to know, though, if you're ever there. Clive Draker says hell is real.
Hell is real?
Yeah, he says there's an actual village in southern Norway named Hell. However, it may not be true to its name. The weather in Hell is consistently below 20 degrees with lows dropping to negative temperatures. So it's just a little town called Hell.
It's just a little village. Yeah, I mean, it's not miles away from Hull, is it?
I mean, it's not. Not really, no. Highway to Hull. No.
And it's probably Eleanor. More like, if you've been to Hull, it's more akin to what we think of Hell.
Without the temperature, yeah.
Yeah.
Eleanor says, now I know you have Absolute Radio Country, but did you know cows hate country music?
Do they?
Yeah.
How do we know? No. How do we know?
She says,
what
she
are
says,
they into? Drum and bass?
I don't know what they're just like. They're like all sorts of music.
That's it, yeah.
Dad joke for you there. Eleanor says, according to research, cows produce 3% less milk. Whilst listening to country music, the study was conducted on a Scottish herd of 45 cows, which were made to listen to classical music and country music. With classical music, their milk produce increased, with one particular cow making 1 litre more milk than usual. However, with country music...
What an experiment.
What an experiment.
What an experiment. Just imagine a farmer in the other field. Right, Jeff, what are you up to there? I'm playing country music this week. See if it yields more milk. All right. Well, see you later then.
What are you doing up here in Scotland?
Oh, I'm just a farmer. We all talk like this. Just a generic farmer. Even in Scotland, they speak like this, you know? Oh, yes. Okay, do then. Ta-da.
That's a weird one, though.
Still to the dialect.
One. Yeah, of course. I quite like that as a fact there. So next time you're walking past...
If you're trying to sabotage somebody's, you know, flock, not flock, herd.
No, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it, isn't it?
What musical keys do cows sing in?
Don't know.
beef flat.
Beef flat, yeah. Beef flat beef iron flat. Steak.
Even. Beef flat iron steak, there you go. Just a little couple of dad jokes for you there, guys. We've got one here from Joey, who says, hi, Jason and Steve. Love the show and listen along in work whilst wiring people's houses. There you go. Mm-hmm. I'm a big geography nerd noise. Myself. Yeah. Big geography nerd.
Nothing
myself.
To distract you.
But can you get your head around this fact?
Go on.
France's longest border with another country is with Brazil.
Oh, no, that is mad. What? I don't even understand.
How?
What? Oh, hang on.
Is this one of them where it's like...
Is it not... It's not it's not France. Is it one of the sort of, you know...
Yeah, like... The it's the French, country... Like,
whatever it was called.
Guinea or whatever. Like, yeah, you know, like, one of them.
Parts of the West Indies and, yeah. Guadeloupe is French, isn't it?
Yeah, that's yeah. It must
going
be.
Going towards that way, isn't it? That's an island.
Yeah, unless I'm terrible at geography. But I,
yeah, no, because it's... the left-hand side is Portugal and Spain, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. They're just splitting.
And the
it?
Bottom, and the bottom. Mm. Yeah, and that side's, you know, mainland Europe. And
it
Germany,
must be that.
Belgium,
it must be that. Yeah. Melissa says, Jason, did you know? Jason, did you know? When you drop a pair of Crocs, they will land the right side up, base on the floor, ready to put them back on your feet.
What? Did you know this? Did you
I didn't know
this?
This? I did not know this.
Because you're a Croc guy. So
I'm
like,
a Croc
if you drop
guy.
Them, they will always land...
Yeah.
I suppose because one side's flat and the other side is springy and will naturally.
Yeah, maybe. It's just, maybe there's
have you got any nearby?
I mean, do you know what?
They're not
I
weighted,
actually,
though, are they? There's no weight in them. That's the old point, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Not... There is a little bit of a.
I suppose there's more to the bottom, more density. So I suppose it's, you know.
I mean, that one just landed on its side, so. I just did it.
Well,
it just
this is what I thought. Side, so. I'm not just going to buy it just because someone said it. I like yeah. to toss one across the room. And the first one you did didn't work. But have you got a shag pile carpet there? Is that
have
what's
I got
going
a what?
On? Is that?
Oh,
shag. You no, know what I said.
This is no, to be fair. These aren't. They weren't traditional Crocs, and they had bits on them. So I, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. But there you go. What about this one from Ian Hardy, who says, if you went to the Philippines and visited every island and spent just one day on each of those islands, it would take you 21 years.
Oh,
I like that.
What?
That's good.
Is that how many islands there are in them?
There's a lot of islands.
Make up there's an archipelago in the Philippines.
Yeah, a lot of islands.
Wow.
I do like a little geography fact. That's pretty good. Some good ones. Keith Williams, who says, my fact is that penguins actually do have knees, although most people think they don't.
Right. Penguins never have got knees, but most people think they don't. I mean, you don't see much of their legs, do you? You only see their little feet coming out the
they
bottom, don't
tiny.
You? Don't really.
Yeah, they are tiny little legs, aren't they? But, yeah, I'm not going to
But you remember
that.
There was that foot, there was that... Bit of, you know, they put on people online years ago, went viral, of an owl running. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I know it's a different thing, but remember, like, because an owl, you only see the little clawed feet, don't you? But then there was one when it sort of pulled its stuff and it ran and it had these full legs and it was... So that must
That's
be the same
right,
with a penguin, I'd imagine.
Yeah, maybe it's got...
Penguin's knees.
Penguin knees.
Maybe I should start using that as it. You know, like people say, it's the bee's knees. I don't know what that means. Like, why is that good?
Yeah.
Why are the bees' knees good?
Just as many knees as a... Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
No, but I mean, of all the things we know about a bee, the knee, you know, like you said, they can fly, but we don't know how. They collect honey. The knees are the least important thing. Why is that? If you said, well, it's the bees' wings, like, it's amazing, no one knows why, that might make more sense as a phrase. So now I'm going to start saying the penguin's knees.
I mean,
an unknown quantity.
And we got one last one from Raquel, who says, a man once hired someone to slap him to avoid checking Facebook. Manish Sethi hired a woman to slap him in the face every time he tried checking Facebook at work. He paid the woman $8 an hour.
Wow, that's
sounds
a
like
job,
some
isn't
sort
it?
Of, sounds like some sort of weird fetish, doesn't it?
Yeah. You think he'd just have a friend who could do that for him?
Yeah.
Rather than lie or something.
Although saying that, to be honest, if you log out of Facebook now, I mean, I don't use it an awful lot, but if you log out of Facebook now, even just trying to get back into it, with
that's
your two-factor verification and all that stuff. It's hard enough doing that, to be honest. So I think just log out. There's no way to avoid it from now on. Some good facts there. We will pick a winner after this.
Jason. Absolute Radio. Manford. Manford, where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio, and we have been playing Hit With Your Best Facts this morning. Shall I have a quick rattle through them for you, Steve? The toilet roll in France is pink. There's a town in Norway called Hell. You can't swear in front of corpses in Texas. Cows do not like country music. France's longest border is with Brazil. A croc will land on its base side. We're not so sure about that one. In the Philippines, it would take you 21 years to visit every island. Penguins have knees, and a man once hired someone to slap him in the face instead of using Facebook.
I mean, the one I want to know, just so we can, so we know, is the France's longest border. That's with Brazil. Because I mean, then that's put to bed, and we can just throw that. We can't throw the fact out unless we know the answer. If we go, okay, do you know France's longest border with Brazil? What is the answer? What is that?
All right.
Is it what we thought?
It's exactly what you thought. French, and it was French Guiana, actually.
Guyana.
And it's along the Amazon. So there you go. That's France's border with Brazil. So, it's a bit of a trick one, that, if I'm honest. But fair enough. I'll take it. A prize winging its way to you. If you want to join in next week, all you got to do is email with jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Send us your best facts. We love them.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. What have you got planned for the rest of Mother's Day, Steve?
Just lovely little meal today, and then tomorrow is I'm doing my show with Robin Asquith at the Phoenix Arts Theatre. So that's tomorrow night. Looking forward to that.
That'd be good, that. I look forward to that, hearing about that next week on the show. I've got a nice chilled week this week, actually. I've literally got nothing, I don't think. I've got a little I've got to see Guys and Dolls tomorrow night for Lucy's birthday. But if you want to come and see me in The Wizard of Oz at the end of April, you can. I'm doing Manchester, just at the Palace Theatre, back as the Lion for 2 weeks only, so come along. And then obviously back on tour from September. So we will see you this time next week here on Absolute Radio.